Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is the guy who's making me laugh today. That is Andrew P. Shea. Andy, how are you doing today?
Good. It's always, the day's always better when you can make either yourself laugh or somebody else laugh. So we'll classify this as a good day as we get ready for, well, kind of last weekend was the introduction or the sort of
appetizer.
It is now fully football season, officially. It's like, it's football season. Obviously, we're going to talk about Penn State, West Virginia a lot, but it's football season, and that is just one game of many games to watch this weekend.
It is. And just as an aside, just to let the listeners know what made me laugh, you were making fun of me. I admitted to having a senior moment, and you corrected me and told me it was a senior episode, which is much more serious.
I explained to you the differences between the two, and I call them life season. You call them senior. I call them life season. You were trying to take what is an episode and cram it into a moment. Jimmy, once you cross over, an episode, and that's the next level of life season, and you have to embrace that. The moments came in your 50s, right? They started in your 50s. You're in in the next decade. So
we call that the 60s, and I am in my 60s, and it's now episodes.
You will have some episodes. You will still, the moments will still come, but you have to recognize that you can't cram everything into the moment box. There are episodes.
All right, fair enough. Andy making fun of my mental health. Let's move on. Let's talk football. We will get a chance to talk about some of the rest of college football, but let's start with this Penn State West Virginia game. And Andy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I get from this West Virginia team with Garrett Green at quarterback, I get kind of a Georgia Tech-ish vibe from them.
Oh, 100%. They know exactly who they are. They will want to run the ball. They have really good talent. Penn State has two really good elite running backs. Penn State's got two elite running backs. West Virginia has two really, really, really good running backs. They got a mountain of a tight end. They also will have some issues at the wide receiver position. The teams are a little bit, in some ways, a lot of a mirror of each other in you look at it. Like, West Virginia's rebuilding the back end in their secondary. That's going to be a big question mark and a matchup in this game. Same for Penn State, right? Like, okay, they've got, we know who plays safety, and he's really good. But they're green at the corner. They're new guys. They're talented. We kind of like them. But there's a little bit of greenhorn there. It's the same on the West Virginia side. Neither team has wide receivers that make defensive coordinators turn their head sideways. So there's a lot of similarity, a lot inside this game. The game is in Morgantown, which makes it even more intriguing. And most importantly, both teams are 0-0. So there's nothing to kind of build on.
And Andy, I saw a surprise, at least surprise to me, statistic that showed that West Virginia actually, with this quarterback, did push the ball down the field. Their average length of pass or something. It was surprising to me when the narrative has been so much that you have a quarterback, dual threat quarterback, who's able to run the ball, two returning running backs. They are, I believe, the only team in the country with three returning rushers of over 750 yards last year.
Yeah, that they are who they are in their identity, but the reason with the success, he's a gunslinger, right? Garrett's a gunslinger. And he's elusive. He will take a shot down the field if he's flushed out of the pocket or on the move. Oh, he is not afraid to make a mistake down the field. What he struggles with is when they have to chase a game and the offense has to move exclusively pretty much by throwing the ball, right? Like, if he has to become a passing quarterback, and it is known, if there's, you know, 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter and they're down, you know, 14, 17 points, got to throw the ball, right? You got to get it, got to get moving, got to get down the field. That's not his strength. He's not, you know, he's not shown that that is something that he can do well. However, on the move, on the run, wicked dangerous. And he's a gun. Like I said, he's a gunslinger, not afraid to make a mistake down the field, chucking it 27 yards going sideways. Not afraid at all.
All right. Well, now you're Tom Allen and you're coordinating the defense against him. How does Penn State play it, knowing that that is the skill set for this quarterback?
So it's going to be, it'll be in two phases, I think. So we're going to the, we're going to deep, dive deep into the game. I love this. It, for me, it's two phases. It's the DNs, right? It's those two guys. Can they will, pocket impact is one part. Are they impacting the pocket from the outside in? I'm pretty sure that's going to have, that will happen some. A little bit more finishing. That's kind of been something that under Manny Diaz, I thought if you could put one small eeny teeny weeny knock on him as a coordinator, his defense from the end position, defensive end position, wasn't, there wasn't pure finish to it. A lot of pocket impact, a lot of pocket impact, not a lot of pure finish. Can they finish? Will be one question. And secondly, I think it comes down to, you know, Devon and the four and the other three defensive tackles and those two defensive ends, whoever they are, because they're going to move Abdul Carter around. He will play some linebacker as well, which I can't wait to see how that looks, where he lines up and what they do with him. It's going to be absolutely bonkers. But can they sort of hold their own and set the edge and let the pressure run through the middle? If West Virginia can be comfortable running the football, and they were top 10 last year in rushing attempts, so they're going to want to run the football. The backs are back. They're going to want to establish and make that, you know, part of their DNA. Then you put West Virginia in a little bit different situation. Look, there are going to be times when this guy's going to drive you nuts. You're going to look like you have him. You're going to get a hand on him. You're going to spin him around. He's going to turn away, and he's going to take a third and 11 and complete a 19-yard pass. And you're going to be – he's not going to do that just once. He can do that multiple times. He's really good at using his legs and his arm on the move to extend plays and drives. So Penn State has to, as much as he can, keep him inside the box and get him behind. Make him throw the ball for cause, right? Not let him throw the ball at his own discretion. Throw the ball because they have to, not because they want to.
Do you put a spy on him?
No, I don't think you put a spy on him. I do not. Not initially. Let him see if your defense can, by themselves, which they're pretty darn good, Jimmy, if they can keep him, you know, inside the box. You're not going to worry about, you know, two or three plays where he gets away and makes it happen. The other team's going to make some plays. It is it consistently happening, you know, over the course of, you know, two times a drive, they're converting. Have they converted those into points? That's where it becomes, you might have to look at spying him. If he is taking over the game that way, that's what you have to look at. If he's taking over the game that way and gaining momentum, you've got to counterpunch. But initially out of the box, I don't think you counterpunch with a spy. You make counterpunching necessary.
And I also think, Andy, it's about containment. You could win the line of scrimmage, but if you let this guy escape – and that's where I think discipline on the defense, control the edge. That's one thing that concerns me with Abdul Carter playing defensive end. Will he have the discipline to contain the edge, not get beat outside by this kind of quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, he's a freak, right? Like, so he could put himself in a bad spot, and 99 times out of 100, somebody won't. Any other player wouldn't be able to get himself out of that bad spot. He's a freak. He will get himself out of bad spots. He might cut in too far, stop, pivot, and still chase the guy down on the outside. He closes space in the open that fast, Jimmy. Like, he eviscerates it, sort of Micah Parsons-like, in my eyes. I that's one of the things that always stood out about Abdul Carter to me was, open space and the time and how he makes that disappear and the time he does it is it simply has me shaking my head and my, you know, like, whoa, he does that well. So he can make a few minor mistakes. You're looking for, is it something he's doing consistently? Is he getting himself in bad positions consistently? Once or twice going to happen, but he could get himself out of those, but can he set the edge? Yeah. And deny Dennis Sutton, who we think is a better pure defensive end, as we know it in college football. Can he be a monster both ways, right? Can he be a two-way monster? Chop Robinson, okay, he wasn't a great finisher last year under Manny Diaz, but, man, he could set an edge. He knew when to come down the line instead of holding and setting the edge and create pocket impact. He was an every-down impact player.
And, Andy, I think I started this segment talking about West Virginia reminding me of Georgia Tech. Though I think the comparison on the other side of the ball, Penn State's defense versus Florida State's defense, Georgia Tech established the line of scrimmage and that they could control that and run the ball.
Yep.
I'm not sure West Virginia will have quite as easy a time against this Penn State defense and the forgotten group, which are the defensive tackles at Penn State.
Four of them, all four of them, collectively better than any one individual is. Their rotation, their strength, their yin and yang, putting guys in and out, moving them, you know, inside the tackle box, moving them around, putting them in different spots, putting them in different technique spots. There's a lot for Tom Allen to work with and start with there. And I think that quartet to me proved last year that they are a more than capable group against the run, right? Like, they open up opportunities against the run. So, yeah, I think the defensive tackles will play a key role early in this game because, as they should, West Virginia will want to establish their two running backs. They should. They're really, really good. You gotta get your horses and take them out to the pond and let them drink some water. Give them a chance. It'll be the onus will be on Penn State to sort of make it more difficult for them.
And I think that's an important key to this game is to establish up front, you're not going to allow them to just run the ball, pound the ball, shorten the game, time of possession, turn it into that kind of game, Andy.
Yeah, it's going to be about who takes advantage of their opportunities inside the 20-yard line. Red zone efficiency. There, I jumped the quarter four on you. Key is red zone efficiency. We'll talk more about it in the fourth quarter.
We will, but next segment, Andy, we're going to flip sides of the ball. We're going to talk about Penn State's offense when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Andy Shea. We're talking about this upcoming game, Penn State versus West Virginia. Before we get started with segment number two, just a quick announcement, Andy. On Saturday, September 14th, Patton Township and State College, they're going to have their children's safety fair. They're doing this at the Colonnade. That's where the Target is, in the Target parking lot. Saturday, September 14th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. This is where they have the police, the EMS, the fire guys. There'll be games for the kids. There'll also be some safety stuff. They've got the fire trucks, the police vehicles, free admission. There'll be games and food. Our buddies over at Bobby Rahal Honda are one of the big sponsors of the event. And again, mark the date. That's Saturday, September 14th. What's great about that, Andy? It's a bye week for the Nittany Lions. So I think they, I think that's more than a coincidence that that's the time they scheduled it. And like I said, it's at the Colonnade, it's at the Target parking lot. So really that's the cool stuff where you get to check out the fire trucks, the fire equipment, the emergency vehicles. Although I'm not sure about seeing the emergency vehicles, Andy. I'm kind of, that would be a little bit of deja vu all over again for Jim, who had to do it from a couple of years ago. Anyway, check it out. Bring the kids. They'll have a great time that Saturday, September 14th. All right, Andy. We spent the first segment talking about when West Virginia and Garrett Green, the dual threat quarterback for West Virginia, has the ball. Let's flip to the other side when Penn State has the ball. And Andy, the entire offseason, the discussion was about Penn State's passing game, whether you want to do it in the context of the wide receivers, the quarterback, or the offensive coordinator, right? Those are the three variables. Tell me about all three of them. What are your questions? What are the answers you want to see from each of those three?
So I'd like to see, and when I say answer, you're not going to get answers in four quarters, right? Like this is, it's like a one-hit wonder, right? Like you're not going to find out everything and anything, but I'm looking for some tea leaves. I'm looking for some tidbits. I'm looking for some thing. And I'm going to start, and you named, you know, are we going to talk about the wide receivers? Yeah, give me a minute, but first indulge me, Jimmy. Yes, of course I'm going to talk about the wide receivers, but I want to know what the plan and purpose is for this offense. I really do. And I want to see the beginnings of that, because it was something to me that was noticeably deficient a year ago. Like, and it wasn't just in the Michigan and Ohio State games. It started for me much earlier than that. And, you know, you can look back at our massive tech stream from football games and you're going to be like, you know, I said it, I think it was right from Illinois, right? Like, what is the plan and purpose? What is their identity? Can we get the startings or beginnings of understanding what the identity might be for this offense? Are they a power team? Are they a get you a come and going type offense? Will they stretch you down the field even? Are they in and out and get you bobbing and weaving as a defense? Then they strike you down the middle of the field. What is the priority for how this group wants to be part of a consistent winning solution and it not be based on the defense is really, you know what, is really, really good and they'll carry the water up the hill for that. That is not a winning solution. I want to know and start to identify what the plan, this is Andy's idea, but it's Andy's ability to get the players to understand and commit to that as well. It's a two-way thing. It's not strictly on Andy Kotelnicki as the offensive coordinator. But that is a big one for me. I don't want to be sitting there in the third quarter and go, wow, I have no idea what this offense is after two quarters of football. I'm not saying I know what it is after two quarters of football, but I'm saying if I don't have any clues or any indicators from my experience, that could be a potential problem. But that is one of the questions I'm looking to answer for. What is the plan and purpose of this offense? Because that will be a key for me.
Andy, when you look at Andy Kotelnicki and what he was brought in to do, we heard over and over again, explosive play, explosive play. So now you're brought in to do that. But if you're Andy Kotelnicki, this is your first game with this team. Do you lean more conservative or are you trying to force those explosive plays to happen?
You know, Jimmy, that's a good question because down the field for a while now, down the field has been problematic / troublesome / forced / weird looking for Penn State for quite some time now. And I don't know what the answer to that is, Jimmy. That's where plan and purpose comes in. You know, are you able to create a situation where you do that? And I think this offense will probably be more in, when they get a defense sideways and bobbing and weaving a little bit. When I say they strike, I think they strike down with a tight end, right? Like a tight end seam, or they get a tight end running free, or a wheel route. They catch a running back all alone on a wheel route, for example. You know what I mean? by design. It just happens that they out-scheme the defense and do it by design. So I think the expectation might be unrealistic to think shots down the field, you know, for the explosive plays thing. I just think it's unrealistic to have that as an expectation for this offense. It just, it feels like it has to happen by natural causes instead of being forced to happen.
You kind of took the words out of you want to see it created organically.
Yeah.
You don't want to see them force it, Andy.
No, not at all. I figure something out because you have enough talent around to, you know, at the tight end position, at the running back position. And, you know, who knows, maybe a little bit at the wide receiver position, but you have enough that you can use something else. Let it happen. Don't try and make it happen, because it's just going to look weird, because it has. And Drew Aller's proven that as a talented arm quarterback, his weakness is throwing the deep ball.
And I'm not sure it's exactly him throwing the deep ball, or it's more about decision making when to throw the deep ball.
Correct.
Than it is he doesn't have the arm talent for it.
Correct.
I think we know he does.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Drew Aller. What do you want to see from him? You and I have had this conversation. We have psychoanalyzed him to death, Andy. What are some of the things you want to see from him that are going to make you say, okay, I see some improvement here?
Command and control. He is large and in charge. He is running this offense. He is not just trying to avoid interceptions and turning the ball over, which at the end of the day, that was admirable the way he protected the football last year. But that was sort of, I think, a marching order more than anything else. And it kind of became, you know, like a 50-pound, you know, 50-pound ruck on his back. It kind of weighed him down a little bit. But the execution of that was phenomenal, in my opinion. But does he have command and control of this offense? Are they looking to him? Are they looking at him in tight spots and expecting him to perform? Command and control institutes a lot, but that is what I want to see out of him, because he has the quarterback skills and the arm talent to be that guy. Like, his arm can make him that guy. The other thing I want to see is, and this isn't necessarily all on him, make the easy throws look easy. Right. That's one of the one things that I always kind of look for in a next level quarterback, is make the easy throws look easy. Right. And I think he proved last year. Now, he had some help. Lastly, and I'll say about him, your pocket presence. Right. I thought he had pretty good pocket presence last year. Stepping up, stepping in, you know, those kind of things, you know, avoiding pressure, understanding where the defense is coming from, the little things like that. Pocket presence is going to be a big thing, because he's not going to have as much help this year on the edges. We know that, especially right out of the gate. It's going to be a little bit of a learning curve and a time in motion. He's going to get sacked. Is he causing it, or was, you know, an offensive line, they need some more work, they got to get better, help it? And can he help his offensive line once or twice in those situations? When they get beat, and they are going to get beat, it will happen, right? Because they're not the two tackles that were NFL draftable level last year. It's going to happen. How does he respond that and help them a little bit? That's going to be key. So those are the things I'm looking for in the Penn State quarterback right out of the chute.
Well, Andy, I want to see an improvement in the body language from him.
Command and control.
We saw him, things go wrong. Now, that he controls his own emotion, that's up to him. But the root cause of that often was the wide receivers. What I don't want to see, Andy, are two things. I don't want to see drops by the wide receivers, especially on third down. And the other thing I don't want to see is, I don't want to hear the announcer say to me, "Well, on that play, the quarterback and receiver were not on the same page, Andy."
Yep.
And every time you hear that, that means somebody made a mistake, okay? I think more often than not, it was the receiver making the mistake, not the quarterback.
I agree.
I do not want to hear ever during this game, the quarterback and receivers aren't on the same page, Andy.
Last thing about Drew Allen, this goes back to command and control, confidence, right? Is he's competent and calm. That I'm sure of. That he proved. He's not always proven himself to be confident. He needs all three. He needs to be confident. The wide receivers, okay, we are going to talk about them briefly. Are they able to be part of a weekly plan that is not dysfunctional? That's just the way it's. The position last year was football dysfunctional. There's no other way to put it. And, you know, some might argue that they have to be a little bit of help and a little bit part of the plan, right? Like you have to say, well, the wide receivers have to if you're going to throw the ball. How are you going to throw the ball with any success offensively without the wide receivers, right? You can kind of work around it, but they need to not be part of a bigger problem, right? The problems are going to come on their own. They don't need to be the starting source of it. And that will be just enough, I think, right? I think that is the sort of the low-level expectation that I think can be just enough with everything else that they have. You're right. Catch the darn ball. You can't be top five drops in the country and win 10 football games. It's going to make it difficult for them. You could do that a year ago because the defense was that good. I don't think you can do it this year.
They don't necessarily, Andy, have to be the solution. Just don't be the problem. All right, that's it for quarter two. Next up, quarter three, your questions, and we ask Andy. Stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter three. That means it's time to ask Andy. We take your questions and Andy delivers the answer. You want to ask a question for Andy? Just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button and away you go. You ready, Andy?
Fire away. Football's here. Let's go. Bring the good ones, people.
Let's start with John from Rising Sun, Maryland. He says, Andy, who has more of an advantage? West Virginia defensive coordinator, knowing Andy Kotelnicki's offense, or Andy Kotelnicki being familiar with the West Virginia defense? Remember, Andy Kotelnicki comes from Kansas, part of the Big 12, which is where West Virginia is.
Andy Kotelnicki. Because, and it's not, John, you make a good point, I will say, John. Why am I saying I give the advantage to your in the way you phrase the question to Andy? Because he's got better weapons. He's got more to work with. And he's got more options. Again, we just talked about the wide receivers in quarter number one. However, Tyler Warren, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen, Drew Aller, quarterback, that's a pretty fearsome foursome to start with in terms of talent and, you know, productivity and ability to impact the game. Those four guys, they're, in my opinion, they're four NFL talent level players.
Okay.
That's your advantage right there, Jimmy.
Yeah, and I think that's where Andy Kotelnicki, I think over the years, has varied the things he does based on the talent he has. I think that's part of what makes him a good offensive coordinator.
Agreed.
And again, he's got a huge upgrade in talent, plus he's going to be merging what he does with what Penn State's been doing. So I think that's all part of it. All right, Andy. Our buddy Tim from Port Matilda. Could you see? This is all his question, the way there. And it goes into the next page, okay?
That's a chapter. That's not
yes.
a question. That's a chapter.
I go through it. I'm going to put our listeners through it. I have to read the whole thing. I'm going to make everyone listen. Here's what Tim says. Jim, answer my questions. I had a perfectly good Drew Aller question that was just shoved to the side. For my own ego, I'm going to assume it was overlooked. Forget about those people from Toronto. If you remember last week,
we did.
We took a question from Toronto. He wants us to forget it and take his questions. All right. He says, I'm kidding, obviously. I love the show. You do a great job with it. And your guests bring up great topics. And you really hit the sweet stop. Hit the sweet spot when you agree with me. Well, thanks, Tim. I like that. Anyway, I'm going to stick with Drew Aller. I want to know Andy's thoughts and yours about this. I don't think there's an in-between area this season with how he performs. I'm actually kind of liking all the criticism he's getting, considering his great stat line for the season outside of two games. One of the things with players we talk about is buyer's remorse. I truly believe there could be a seller's remorse with Drew Aller. I'm going to leave it at that, Andy, and not read the other two-thirds part of his question. Obviously, what Tim is doing is he is buying on Drew Aller. Are you? Are you buying or selling?
Oh, man. I didn't expect you to phrase his question, which, Tim, you need to adapt a little Jimmy in you and go, and less is more. Because
Tim, we love you, Tim. Don't listen to Andy. Spend all your time writing up these questions. We love it, Tim.
Yeah, okay. So I would be a buyer, but I would not be a big money buyer. How's that? I'm not a seller. I'm definitely not going to, if I already have the Drew Aller stock, I'm not selling it. So am I a buy? If I don't have any, I'm going to buy it, but I'm going to buy it small and slow. I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to buy a big chunk of it. I need to see some things from the young man so that the part B of the game, the everything else beyond his natural arm talent and ability to throw the ball and sort of, you know, bring guys along for the ride a little bit more. I need to see a lot more of the part B stuff before I would commit any more big money to it. So I am a buyer, but I am a small and slow buyer.
You're not betting the house on him. All right. You know what? Since we didn't ask Tim's question last week, I'm going to put in Tim's second question also, Andy. Uh-oh. This is going to be the Tim show, Tim segment at least. All right, guys, time to get real. Straight answer from you, Andy, and Jim. What would make you feel better? A solid cover by 17 to 20 points in the opener against West Virginia, or Penn State's offense putting up over 34 points? You can't pick both, one or the other. Which would you go?
Penn State's offense putting up 34 more points. I didn't even hesitate.
I'm going the other way. I want the solid win because I think sometimes the point total – we use this to determine how good the offense played. When I'll use the example, Georgia Tech and Florida State, each team possessed the ball so much. They had those long drives. There were a limited number of possessions. So it's easy to say, oh, the offenses didn't put up big numbers. Well, but where, how often out of how many possessions did they score? I will take the solid 20-point win, even if it's 27-7 over winning, you know, 40-38, just to say, hey, my offense can move the ball. Because this could also be part of the game plan with this game is, you know what, we've got some pretty good running backs too. If I have success doing those long 10-minute drives, fine, I'll go for it. All right, that ends the Tim from Port Matilda portion of our show. Let's move on to Mike in Baltimore. He says that's via the coal region. Wonder where you are from the coal region. Next time, Mike, tell us what your hometown is. He says, hello, Andy and Jim. Love listening to the show every week. I watched Georgia Tech upset Florida State by sticking to the run game, wearing down a defensive line filled with future pros, and having a veteran quarterback make clutch plays. Do you think West Virginia can do this against Penn State? Why or why not?
Yeah, I think they can. I think there's a little bit of, you know, this is not your Penn State 2023 defense, but it's still a really good defense. But, you know, show me the money. Can they make West Virginia uncomfortable? Georgia Tech was never uncomfortable in its own offensive skin against Florida State. They pretty much exclusively ran the ball kind of right down the middle and said, our guys are better than your guys. If that's the case and West Virginia does that, Penn State might be in more trouble than you think, because that's where you expect the pushback from Penn State. That's where you expect Penn State's defense to have some strength and ability to sort of make West Virginia stretch itself offensively. If West Virginia does kind of what Georgia Tech did and kind of is dominant up front and does what it wants to do. And by the way, they do not have their, you know, all conference stud NFL draft pick center anymore. I think Penn State could be in trouble. If West Virginia if Garrett's running wild on the outside and making throws down the field by using his legs and showing his escapability, and coupled with that, they're able to run the ball how they want, when they want, and effectively, and sort of move the ball that way as a priority, Penn State will be in trouble. So there is some onus on this defense to push back. I'm not saying completely erase what West Virginia is going to do offensively, because, Jimmy, this is one of the three or four best offenses that Penn State's going to face all season. As it sits right now, this is a pretty solid West Virginia offense. They won 9 games last year, and this quarterback has got some hops. And there is some yin and yang that he's good. It'll come down to is it the fourth quarter? The last 15 minutes. What is the last 15 minutes? Florida State couldn't stop Georgia Tech from getting a first down. Georgia Tech won the football game. What does Penn State's defense do in the last 15 minutes?
I think Penn State's defense, Andy, is better than Florida State's defense.
Agreed.
And Mike talks about the defense getting worn down. I think, as we mentioned earlier, that rotation and depth of defensive tackles and the whole entire defense, I think that's important. The line of scrimmage, Georgia Tech controlled it. I don't think West Virginia will. I think that's the difference. All right, now we're shifting gears totally and completely, Andy. This is Steve from Columbia. He's got a morality question for us. Hiking in Glacier National Park in northwest Montana with my wife and son last week, a black bear and 2 cubs crossed about 50 feet in front of us. A guy with an Ohio State hoodie was in our group. Fortunately, the bear seemed unconcerned and kept on walking. Got some great pics. But if the bear charged us, my son and I agreed we would have pushed down the guy with the Ohio State hoodie in front of the bear to save us Penn State fans. Your thoughts?
First of all, it is like on my bucket list to go to Montana. After watching the show Yellowstone, I just want to see it with my own 2 eyes. But I'm not sure what I would do if I saw a bear, because that's like snakes and bears are like I don't like snakes, and bears just frighten me. Gators are high up there too, but they retreat to the water, and bears just scare me. So I don't know what I would do, and I'm not a quote-unquote Penn State fan. I'm not an Ohio State hater, so I wouldn't know what to do with my buddy wearing an Ohio State hoodie. You know, if he was wearing a Saints hoodie, it might be different.
Well, you say that as the Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan. Andy, right. It always reminds me of the story, 2 guys camping in the tent. They hear the bear outside. The one guy gets up, starts to put on his sneakers. The other guy says, why are you bothering putting on your sneakers? You can't outrun the bear. The other guy says, don't have to outrun the bear. Just got to outrun you.
So, I never heard that.
My take on this is, Steve, knock the Ohio State hoodie guy down, sacrifice him. There's plenty of other Ohio State fans out there. He won't be missed. Sacrifice him. Not a big deal, Andy. That's my take on it. And by the way, I'm more scared of gators. When I'm in Florida golfing and I see those gators coming out of the water, it's like, you could have the golf ball. I don't need it that badly.
Yeah, I have a 40 club rule. if I hit the ball into a water hazard when I'm golfing in Florida. I don't play the two club rule. I don't get near the water. It's like, well, there, I don't see anything. I don't care. I can't say no. 40 club rule.
Very good. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter number three. More to go when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. Somehow, Andy, we ended up talking about Ohio State hoodie guys, Bears, Gators, and we went through Tim from Port Matilda, his whole long essay that he sends us each week. All right, let's get back to actual football and this Penn State-West Virginia game, noon on Saturday, Andy. Penn State, as of this recording, they're an 8.5-point favorite. Let's get down to some of the nitty-gritty and some of the specific questions I got to ask you. Give me a key player on each side of the ball for Penn State. I'm not saying the best player. Who's the key player?
So on offense, it's a combo, right? It's Trey Wallace and Liam Clifford, right? We've heard all offseason and through camp, you know, from James Franklin, that these two wide receivers have played pretty well and have been pretty consistent in practice, right? You've heard that on a very consistent basis from James, and that's for a reason. Okay, now it's time to show me the money. I mean, this is a West Virginia, you know, revamped defensive backfield, and it could be the weakest link when it comes to matchups in this game when you look at it as West Virginia versus Penn State. Because I think, you know, that secondary, a little bit like Penn State's, had some questions. It's those two guys. All right. Your coach has been talking you up, saying that you guys have been pretty good and consistent and you're doing well in practice. Let's see it. Show up. Let's see it. So they're the ones on the offensive side of the ball. You asked me about the defensive side of the ball, and I am going to go to the edge. So naturally, you would think I'm going to say Abdul Carter. No, it's the other guy. I think he's a monster. I think he is an every down monster. I think he was a timeshare defensive end last year, right? And look what he did. There was a timeshare linebacker that Penn State had a few years back, when he got into a full-time role, that would be Micah Parsons. Your jaw dropped watching him play football in a full-time role. I think there is some of those elements that I see on a consistent basis play in and play out when I look back at watching him last year. I think the one to watch on defense for me, the one I'm going to be looking for, maybe I have a little higher expectations of him than most. I don't know, but it is Denai Dennis Sutton, because I see elements of monster.
You know, I think those are good picks. Let's start on the defensive side of the ball. It's interesting. You picked a pair of guys on offense and a single guy on defense. I'm going to reverse it, Andy. On defense, I have a lot of faith in the defensive line of Penn State, okay? And it could be one of those guys, Denai Dennis Sutton, perhaps Abdul Carter, that ends up being the player of the game with, you know, multiple sacks and all that, and the guy that we're talking about. I'm looking at the linebackers, okay? And I was going to just say go with Kobe King, but I'm going to go with the linebacker pair, it may be. If you recall last year when mistakes were made, it seemed like it was at linebacker where the tackle was missed and a third and long was completed by the opposition. And I think with this kind of quarterback, what I greatly fear is that quarterback, he escapes the pocket, but there's the linebacker who could maybe tackle him 5 yards down the field. But if he misses the tackle, it's a 25-yard gain, a first down, or worse, okay? I'm looking, could the linebackers maintain their lane integrity? And also, when the one-on-one opportunity is there in front of them, they make the tackle, Andy. So that's where – and if they make the tackle, they won't end up player of the game. But if they miss the tackle, they'll be the goat of the game, Andy.
You're talking about Tony Rojas, in my opinion. I mean, he's the mobile.
It's probably more Tony Rojas. You're right.
It is. Is he, can he, you know, being a new Jack, being, you know, a bit of a greenhorn, can he, he's got, man, does he have some talent? And he is a live wire. Can he be a live wire in open space? That was a sort of hidden gem of this Penn State defense a year ago. Man, did they tackle well in space, right, Jimmy? Across the board. It, from the cornerback position, Daquan Hardy, you know, they were willing and able to tackle well in space. And I think in some ways they kind of, you know, covered up for the linebackers a little bit. But can these linebackers, particularly Tony Rojas, if that quarterback is, you know, slicing and dicing and you don't know whether he's going to throw or run and you're stuck in the middle, that's a bad space to be. You're talking about Tony Rojas. That's a good call, Jimmy. I'm going to give you your props on that one. Good call.
Well, thank you, sir. Now let's, on the offensive side of the ball, I had Trey Wallace as my name the whole time. I think he's got to be the straw that stirs the wide receiver drink, Andy. If he could present himself as that threat, he opens up things for everybody else. If he becomes the number one guy, all of a sudden you pay attention to him, Omari Evans might beat you over the top. Liam Clifford, Julian Fleming, all of a sudden they get a one-on-one coverage free up. Tyler Warren, you know, if the defense has to worry about an authentic number one wide receiver, which Trey Wallace could be, I think that opens up things for everybody else, Andy.
Yeah, anything close. I mean, in this game last year, and then we kind of didn't see him very much, 7 catches, 72 yards. If he's that kind of receiver in this game, Penn State's having some serious success offensively because he's capable of that. He's just got to stay available. Like you always said, the best talent is availability.
The best ability is availability. All right, Andy, a couple little questions. First play from scrimmage. We're going to replace Andy Kotelnicki with Andy Shea. What's your first call, first play from scrimmage?
Motion out of the backfield with Nick Singleton. Throw it to him in space. Create some confusion with your other movement, but at the end it's going to be I think you want to establish Nick Singleton in space, then start out by doing it.
You know me, Andy, anytime you throw the ball on first down, I'm happy about it.
You are.
I'm telling you, that is it's a trend. You got to break that trend to say, oh, we want to establish the run, you know, with that first possession. I think you can establish the run by showing I'm willing to throw the ball on first down. And if I'm willing to show you that, the next time around, you won't have 8 guys in the box stacking up against Nick Singleton. I think you'll open up things for him later on. That's my, you know, take on that. All right, Andy, I'm giving you enough time to expound on it. We're going to need a bold prediction first. Then after that, we're going to get your prediction for the game. But let's start with your bold prediction.
Okay, sure. Each Penn State running back will eclipse 100 total yards of offense in this one. I see some explosive plays. Each one of them gets to 100 total yards. That is rushing and receiving. I'm not saying they're each going to run for 100. What I know of Andy and what he likes to do with an offense and what he has available to him, I feel these guys are going to see a little bit of sunshine.
Andy, you must have been listening to our show earlier this week, or you and I have been spending way too much time together, because that was literally exactly my bold prediction, was each running back to account for over 100 yards. Because I do think they will try to throw them the ball. I do think that Andy Kotelnicki will come up with enough schemes that give them the opportunity, you know, to get outside, get big plays going. I think that could happen. Since you kind of stole my thunder there, I'm going to go another way. How about this? How about Tyler Warren with two touchdown catches?
I'd say it's a prediction. Not sure it's bold. That guy's a red zone stud, right? Like, he's like a Linus blanket for Drew Aller and the passing game in the red zone, right? Like, so it is a – so you're saying that he is going to be exactly what we expect him to be? And I'm just busting your chops a little bit.
I know. Well, you know, it's like three touchdowns I thought would have been unrealistic. So I thought, well, get me two touchdowns from my tight end and I'd be happy. All right, Andy. How about your prediction for the game?
Yeah, this to me, you know, it was something I asked last week, what will be asked of this defense, right? And I think the last 15 minutes, Penn State is going to ask a little bit from this defense. I think it's close going into the final 15 minutes. I think this defense comes at you at waves. I think they're going to isolate Abdul Carter some and move him around. I think the last 15 minutes is critical for Penn State's defense. They answer the bell, and Penn State wins 27-17.
27-17. So with an 8.5-point spread, you do have them covering. But I think our question from Tim, you don't have them either scoring 34 points or getting the comfortable win.
Yeah, you don't get all the answers to the questions you want in four quarters, Jimmy.
I went back and forth on this one, Andy. Because I think going into this game, as I mentioned at the start of this segment, West Virginia reminds me a bit of Georgia Tech.
They do.
Okay. And I took Georgia Tech last week. I got 10.5 points, and I won the bet easily. Okay. However, I just think that Penn State's defense is so much better than what Florida State presented. And I'm also going to go that I think we're going to see more from the Penn State offense than we did from Florida State. DJU from Florida State did not have a great game. Yes, you're doing I've got the blue and white glasses on. But I think it will be close for a while. I do think Penn State will pull away, though, in the second half. I've got it 34-15, Andy.
All right, you go for the 34, and you go for the 19-point win.
I go for the 19.
You get all your questions answered in 60 minutes, Jimmy.
No, I don't, because a year ago, what was the score of Penn State West Virginia last year, Andy?
I don't know what the score was, but it was clearly top to bottom. Penn State was the better, more dominant team. That's all I remember.
And they pulled away late. Yeah, so
they were just better.
They were. Andy, that is it for our show. Everyone enjoy the game on Saturday, and we will talk to you next week about it.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.